And I'm going to share a few things with you probably from this book, but I'm not going to share this book word for word with you. I would encourage you, though, if you are interested in a more intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, this is an excellent book. It's a classic on the work, and it's by R.A. Torrey. It's called The Person and the Work of the Holy Spirit. Very good book. It'll help you understand and appreciate who he really is to us in this present hour. Amen? And before we do that, though, I just really want to encourage you to continue to stand steadfast and thank God for what his word says is yours in life, whatever that may be. In Mark chapter 9, there's an account told of this father who had a son that was tormented by a demon. Actually, it was a spirit of epilepsy. And the father had sought his son's deliverance. And this is the account of the father that he sought Jesus, but when he came up to the gathering, Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so each individual disciple that was left behind, other than Peter, James, and John, it really, the image I've always had is that they one by one sought to cast out this demon to no avail. The young man was no better for their efforts, and the father was only more discouraged at the conclusion of it all. And then finally, Jesus returned and saw the crowd gathered and asked, he said, "What's going on here?" And in verse 21 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, we see where Jesus engaged the father. It says he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child." In other words, when his son was a little child, he says, "And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything..." Can you see that father had come to a place of even greater distress, because he had approached this gathering hoping to find Jesus, believing that Jesus held the solution to his dilemma. But then he was confronted with the ineffectiveness of Jesus' closest followers. And surely if anybody could help, they would have been the ones, but they were ineffective. And now Jesus has come along, and this father at this point has questioned whether Jesus can do anything. You know, most people don't have a problem believing what God can do. In fact, most people believe God can do more than what he really can do in this present hour. Amen? Glory to God. Now, some folks will get upset. If you got a little bit of religion right now, your hackles are up and you're all upset and you're ready to get the tar boiling and feathers gathered to take care of the pastor, right? What do you mean by that? What I mean is this, that God has limited himself to man's own will. Amen. Remember, Dad Hagin was teaching along these lines one time, and he said, "Some folks believe God can do anything." This man in the back shouted, "Amen, brother." And Dad Hagin began to share some things that I'm sharing with you right now. And the young man kept challenging, said, "Well, no, I believe God can do anything." He said, "Well, if God can do anything, why did he make you pay your tithe?" He said the fella dropped to the floor. It was in a church where they had pews. He dropped below the pews and he crawled down and out the back door because he was so embarrassed. Amen. See, he respects our will. If he was to make anybody do anything, he'd make folks get saved. We'd go into the millennium tomorrow. Amen. So there are limits as to what he can do by his own commitment to honor the will he has entrusted to us. Amen. And having said that, this father's come to this place where he's doubting what Jesus can do. Most folks believe God can do anything. You know, God could just heal anybody. Well, Jesus went to his own hometown intending to heal folks, but it said he could there do no mighty work. And it was because of their unbelief. Amen. Glory to God. Several examples where he sought to minister to folks. When he went into the house and they let the lame man down through the paralytic down through the roof, he was there for the explicit purpose. We're told the power of the Lord was present to heal the Pharisees and the doctors of the law that were gathered there. But none of them ever got healed. God can just do anything he wants to. He must have wanted to heal them because he made his power available. But they didn't end up healed. The only person that's recounted as having been healed there was the man that was let through the roof. Amen. Glory to God. Maybe we ought to start all over again, you think? It's so quiet in here. God can't do any more for you than what you let him or what you believe. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Amen. Well, over here, he's in a distressful situation, and he's telling Jesus, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe. What did he mean by believe? If you're turned there even, hold your place, but if you're not turned there, just follow me anyway. I'm going to go over to Romans 4 just a moment. Romans 4. In Romans 4, we have the account of Abraham and his faith at work involving his son. Look over here, if you would, to verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him. Now, that word before means like unto, or after the similitude, you could say. Amen? He says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Glory to God. Who against hope believed in hope. Now, what did he mean against hope? Really, a more accurate way to say that in our language would be beyond all human hope that was now exhausted, he continued to believe in a divine hope. Do you know what that means? That means when you've got no right evidence or justification in the natural to continue to believe, but you do. See, this goes beyond the grave. Amen. I know when we were believing God for Robin's daddy years ago, now it's been, how long ago was this? About not long enough in some ways, too long in others. Well, anyway, with her daddy, he kept going into cardiac arrest, or he would be declining, and they'd tell us, oh, he's going to die. Well, we weren't ready to let go of him yet because we were still at that point of believing God to see him raised up and restored. And you know, here, I mean, give you one example. We had sought him out to tell him, you know, we love you, we're praying for you, we're standing and believing God for you. This was after 18 years of standing, believing, and praying, and having regular assaults come our way from him and from others provoked by him. And we just determined we were going to walk in love anyway. And he saw how committed we were to walking in love, and I believe God opened his eyes to appreciate it in the last days of his life. And he called us up one day. He said, I want y'all to come over. I want to talk to you. We went over to talk to him, and he looked us in the eye, and he apologized. He said, I've been wrong. He thanked us for making the stand we had made, which was what he was so aggravated with and fought so much against. He thanked us for all of that. Amen. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, if you only knew what I felt like doing. But he thanked us for it, and he acknowledged it, and he expressed his regret that he hadn't risen above his own flesh to walk in love and do what he needed to do. And the next day, he was going to have some things done in preparation for radiation, I believe it was, for cancer, and had a heart attack, went into cardiac arrest, going through Hardee's to get a biscuit with Holly, sitting in the front seat of her car, her truck, and he fell over and was in cardiac arrest. And she called me on the phone, said, Dad's heart's not beating, they can't get it started. I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that spirit of death. I command him to live and not die. She said, they got it. Yeah, we got it. We got it. And they got him to the hospital. Well, we're at the hospital, and because of his situation, the doctor is arguing over. He said he was dead for so long. Been there, done that. He said he was dead so long, there had to be brain damage. Well, we knew he already had that. And we were praying anyway. We were praying. As we're talking to this doctor, he was debating all this because they were trying to decide whether it was worth their investment to put stents in because his heart was blocked off. And that's why he went into cardiac arrest. He had no blood flow around his heart. There's major blockage there. So while they're talking to us, and this doctor's trying to get us to commit whether or not they ought to do surgery, another doctor walks in and said, boy, it turned out great. It went so easy. We got the stents in. He's breathing fine. He's doing fine. His heart's working great. So we ended up, here's the doctor telling us, I don't know if they're going to do it. Here's the doctor said, it's done. And I can't tell you how many different times, I believe we counted a total of 7 times that God literally raised the man from the dead in response to prayer. One of the last times, he was in a hospital over here off of 95 South, down off Emerson. What was it called? Specialty Hospital? He was in there, and we were visiting him, and he went into cardiac arrest there. And they rushed us out of the room. We had to be there visiting. They rushed us out of the room that day, and it looked like it was just all over but the shouting again. 7 different times they told us, he's gone. It's over. Plan the funeral. I mean, that's what it means in hope against hope. You got no reason. A sane man would call you crazy for continuing to expect anything. People quit too soon. They quit too soon. They get a little twinge and they expect the worst. God's word's more faithful and more reliable than that little twinge, but you got to decide who you're going to believe. Are you going to believe God or are you going to believe your body? Are you going to believe God or are you going to believe the circumstances that would challenge and try to defy God in your life? So we're down there at specialty, and he goes into cardiac arrest. They run us out of the room, and we just immediately start, because we still hadn't turned loose yet. Now we began to notice something, and I prayed this by myself. I didn't even tell Robin I was going to pray it. Turned out later I did confide in her, and she said she prayed the same thing. But we prayed, and I prayed alone. I said, Lord, I said, I know your faithfulness. We've seen it time and time and time again. And I was being specific about, you raised him up here, you raised him up there, you raised him up. You know, we know your faithfulness. But there's something wrong because he's not retaining it. Why is he not retaining this? And I didn't know it, but she was praying the same thing as best we can figure at the same time at home. I was praying it over here. I don't even know where I was. I think I was over here, but I was praying it. And then later that evening or the next day, we got a phone call and some things were discovered that brought to light some hidden sin. And so it gave us another avenue of approach to try to get him restored in this situation. And knowing what we knew, now here we are, and he's gone into cardiac arrest yet again. And we started praying. There was no, in fact, midway through all this, I walked back in and I saw the head resident that was over there, the doctor, happened to be an older gentleman. And he said, are you with Mr. House? I said, yes, sir, we are. He said, I'm his son-in-law. Not that he'd admit it, but I was. And that was another sweet little thing. We're over there walking in love, and he starts talking to us about what Mike and Robin were doing. Well, we were Mike and Robin he was talking about. He kind of digressed after that heart attack and a few things happened. Well, anyway, so here we are. We're walking in love. We're praying for him. And we're refusing to turn loose of him. We didn't have the liberty to turn loose of him yet. Yet in the natural, there was no... And I went in, I encountered this doctor. He said, I hate to tell you, he said, but it looks like he's blown out his heart. He said, they're working on him a little bit still, he said, but they got him back for a few minutes. They lost him again. And usually he said, that's it. I said, well, doc, we just appreciate you doing what you can. We're you know, thankful, and we're trusting God that he's made wisdom to you folks to minister most effectively, and we just appreciate what you're doing. And I left out there, and we kept saying, he's going to live and not die, in Jesus' name. And you know, ask me if I felt like he was going to live and not die. No. Ask me if I thought maybe it might be to our advantage if he just... Amen. Don't go look into the flesh if you want to see a miracle. We used to warn people, be careful what you ask our ladies to pray for. If you don't want the answer, don't ask the prayer, because we'll get it. And they do. And so here we are, and I shared that with the doctor, and I walked back out. And he said, if they do get him back, they'll take him immediately to Memorial Hospital over here on University. I barely walked back out to tell Robin what he'd told me, and we hear an ambulance crank up and take off. They were transporting him because they got him back again. Hope beyond hope. That's hope beyond hope in the natural. It's when you refuse to quit believing because you've still got God's word regardless of what the circumstance is. You don't let life dictate to you what you're going to receive from God. You let God dictate to you. You quit measuring God's faithfulness by looking at your symptoms, and you start measuring your symptoms in light of his faithfulness. You know what? When David looked at Goliath in the context of who God was to him, Goliath shrunk. If your problem's bigger than your God, you're looking the wrong direction. Amen. And so in this situation, look on down with me very quickly. Romans 4 says, as it is written, verse 17, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope or beyond natural human hope believed in divine hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. There came a point where he quit consulting with his own flesh to see if God's promise was true. Amen. He started talking to his flesh instead of listening to it. That's the turning point. When you start talking to your flesh, when you start talking to the challenges, you start speaking to the mountains instead of just sitting back and listening to them and then trying to tell anybody to listen what they're telling you. Amen. Glory to God. That's good news. You got to say. You don't have to be passive. You don't have to be some dumping ground for the devil just to put on you what he wants to at any old time. Amen. But you've got to decide. Now go back over, if you would, very quickly. The incident we were looking at earlier there over in Mark chapter 9. Because Jesus said, if thou canst believe. Why was it important for this man to believe? I want to tell you something. Even when Jesus is on the scene, sometimes it looks worse before it gets better. Look on down here. It says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. What happened? God's word spoke. And you know, when God brings correction, there comes conviction. Glory to God, if we respond. And this man was desperate. He wanted his son to receive something, didn't he? He says, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I believe that is just a fancy way of saying, forgive me for not believing. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Why does it tell us this? Don't you suppose about now that father's being tempted to think, well, at least the disciples didn't kill him. Why did he need to believe? Because even when God himself in the form of his son was on the scene to effect a miracle, it took faith. It took faith. Look what happened. What happens when it goes south? Keep listening to the word. Keep speaking your faith. Keep rejoicing in his faithfulness. Amen. It says, the spirit cried, rent him sore, came out of him. He was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Quit listening to your circumstance. Quit listening to the devil and the lies he's telling. Start speaking. See, there's something about us. The devil wants us to play by the rules, but he wants to play fast and loose. And he wants you to justify your belief by proving it by your circumstance. Well, you know what? Sometimes it takes persistence in your faith to bring your circumstance and the symptoms that are confronting you into harmony. You got to believe the mountains were moved and cast into the sea in order to see it. If you saw it just happen, would you have to believe? No. But if you wanted to keep it there, if it just happened, you'd still have to believe. Amen. Glory to God. Don't, you know, it's wonderful when we pray and we get results. But whether you feel it or not, every time we pray in faith, we get results. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Can you prove that? Yeah, just happen to have a verse or two. Let's look over very quickly. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. You get anything out of this?
Yes, sir.
I didn't plan to share this tonight. I just believe the Lord wanted us to. Amen. Amen. He's the boss. Amen. And I'm glad he is. Lord, I tell you, God's so good. He's so faithful. No, ma'am, I didn't. Amen. I know. Glory to God, and I'm glad he is. Look down, if you would, to verse 13, chapter 5, 1 John. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. In other words, he's saying, I'm talking to you Christians out there, you believers out there. Amen? Are you a believer? Then he's talking to you. He's talking to me. He says, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. What's your confidence to be based on? Knowing what his will is before you even make a petition or speak your faith. Amen. See, determining the will of God isn't something you do by praying and seeing what happens. Amen. No, his will is what happens when we take hold of his word and speak it in faith with the authority of his name and realize it in our experience. And it takes steadfast faith. Well, you got to resist the devil steadfast. He's a persistent thief. Remember Buddy Harrison one time, he was walking down the road with Dad Hagen, and he used to walk down, every now and then he'd be somewhere with Dad Hagen, and he wasn't serving God at first, Buddy wasn't, but he would help out in some practical areas every now and then in ministry, and he'd be walking down the road or walking next to Dad Hagen every now and then smoking a big old, not Dad Hagen, but Buddy, smoking a big old stogie. And they said he used to delight in taking a big puff of that and just looking Dad in the face and blowing it in his face. Dad Hagen just walk in love. Just walk in love. Amen. But one day, Buddy looked at Dad Hagen and said, listen, he said, I've never heard you say a bad word about anybody. Not once have I ever heard you say a negative word or a bad word about it. He said, my God. He said, I believe you have something good to say about the devil. Dad looked at him and kind of grinned this little sheepish grin. And said, well, he is a persistent cuss. Amen. If the devil can be that dedicated to his lying, we ought to be all the more dedicated to God's truth, haven't we? So he says down here, this is the confidence that we have in him. Where's our confidence at? In him. How we feel about him? No, in him. What we think about him? No, it's in him. What it looks like? No. No, our confidence is in him. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, well, what's his will? Listen, if you want to find out what his will is about healing, look at his life and ministry. See if you can find any instance where Jesus gave somebody cancer to teach them anything. He didn't even give them the measles to teach them anything, or a cold or anything else. God's house isn't divided. He's not handing out sickness on the left hand and healing on the right hand. He's faithful. Good Lord. Amen. Some people think God's as schizophrenic as they are. He's not. Amen. Hold your place. Go back very quickly. James 1. James 1. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the Word of God. Amen. His word's forever settled. Listen, if you see it written in here, you can know it's just as true today as it was then, and in eternity to come, it will remain so. Glory to Jesus. Look down here if you would. It says over here in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Well, what is sickness? It's a temptation. It's a trial, isn't it? So he doesn't use sickness to tempt people. It says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now look at verse 17. Is sickness a good or a perfect gift? No, no. Neither is emotional depression or confusion. Amen. None of those things are. God's not the author of confusion. He's got a peace, and he's called us to peace. It says over here, every good and every perfect gift is from above. Verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren, about what? That every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, God is dedicated to his word, expressing his faithfulness in his goodness toward us. He doesn't get fickle. He doesn't get upset and turn. Do you know the gifts and the con of God are without repentance? It means he doesn't withdraw them. He doesn't withdraw them. Glory to God. And you know what? God said that about himself. You know what else? God can't lie. So when he said that I don't withdraw my gifts, amen, he couldn't lie about it. Well, on back over there very quickly, where'd I have you at? 1 John, he said, this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Why is he giving us this assurance? Because there are certain things you got to get settled in your heart if you're ever to see their benefit in your life. God wants you to know when you pray and you make a petition according to his word, in his mind, it's a done deal. The moment you begin to pray in the context of his will, you got his attention. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus, I see in your word that you bore my sickness. You carried my pains. By your stripes, I was healed. So I'm sure that it's the Father's will that healing would be mine. I believe I receive it. And then I start talking to my body. Body, get into line. Amen. Paul said, I keep under my body. He didn't say one day God's going to put my body under. He said, I keep under my body, bringing it into subjection. How did he do that? By renewing his mind to the will and the word of God, who he was and what he had. See, healing isn't about praying and waiting for God to do something else. It's about praying and believing God's already acted, and it's ours to receive. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Look at verse 15. If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's some pretty definite faith, isn't it? What happens if you pray according to his will and nothing happens? Your confidence is in him, right? So you just keep believing. Your confidence isn't in the circumstance. If it is, you've lost the battle. I can tell you right now. No, it's in him, his faithfulness, his steadfastness. He hastens over his word to perform it, but he needs somebody that'll believe it. Amen. Jesus wanted that man's son to be healed, but he needed that dad to believe. Yeah. Amen. According to our faith. Remember that little lady with the issue of blood? Daughter, according to thy faith. Praise God. He's so good. Amen. Well, I didn't even get started tonight, did I? Well, I did kind of. Praise God. Robin, let me get you to come on up here. I think what we need to do is close tonight by, I'll let Robin close, but if you've got a need before you go and you want agreement and you're ready to believe God and take him at his word, and start talking to the mountain instead of gazing at it. Amen.